Just pray. Father God, thank you that you are our creator. And only because of you does this universe exist. Are we able to meet here to worship you tonight? Only because of you has creation come about. Lord Jesus, we invite you into our midst. Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross for us. Take the punishment that we deserve to set us free from the wages of sin and death. We owe you our lives, Lord, our eternal lives. Holy Spirit, come. Come and open our hearts to more of your love. Open our minds to believe more about you. Open our bodies to be temples of your Holy Spirit. May we be aware of that as we go through our daily lives. Just to remember, you're there. You never left us. You don't go away after we finish church on Sunday. You're always there. Open our spirits to be filled more with you. May you make a difference in us, Lord. May we make a difference in our families, our circle of friends, in our town, in our world. Holy Spirit, we've been studying your work in our house groups, studying your gifts, your fruit, your manifestations in so many ways. Guide my words tonight as I speak about you. Amen. Well, this evening's talk is about the Holy Spirit and you, and each one of you, and you together as church. And I'd like us to look at moving on in the Spirit and how people have noticed or felt the clear presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, in the lives of others, in the life of their church. How something special happened in the Bible as a result of baptism in the Spirit, this being filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be hearing from one or two people later, their testimonies about things that happened in their water baptism. So let's begin with some significant Bible verses. Let's see if this is working. Yes. From Luke 1 verse 15. It's about the coming John the Baptist. How he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. You probably know this story, but the angel came to Zechariah and said, "Don't be afraid, your prayer has been heard," about his wife having a baby. "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're to give him the name John. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." Now that's unusual, isn't it? Even from birth. Some people are very aware of the Holy Spirit quite young in life, but this is even more special. And what will happen because of that? Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit has an outcome. Has an outcome. Moving on a bit in Luke, we know that Mary went to visit Elizabeth. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus, went to meet Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, us men will never know what that feels like, but those ladies who felt a baby kick in their womb, that must be quite amazing. The baby leapt in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? She knew that baby was Jesus, the Son of God, and she praised God. Something special happened because she was filled with the Spirit. Moving on in Luke a bit further, Zechariah. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? He prophesied. The prophecy came out of that. He said, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his prophets of long ago." Moving on to Acts. The Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we've heard about that recently, when it talks about all of them being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just the 12, all of them. I think there were about 200, weren't there, Tony? Quite a gathering. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Not because they'd made it up, but as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And we know the crowd outside heard all this noise and thought, what's going on? They're all drunk. And then someone noticed, hang on, we're from lots of different countries and each of us hears them speaking in our own language. It's like tongues and interpretation flowing together. It's like if Masood's speaking in tongues there, I'm English, I hear him speak English. Somebody else is Welsh, hears him speak Welsh. Somebody else is from Eritrea, hears him speaking Eritrean, all at the same time. That's the way it's worded in the Bible. Each of us hears him speaking in our own language. Something special happened. God-fearing Jews heard the sound. The crowd came together. They were utterly amazed. Something special happens when they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we come to Peter. And we know the story in Acts 3 of Peter healed a cripple in front of the crowd. And they all started saying, hey, what, how can you do this? It's amazing. What's all this about? And he preached to them about the healing power of Jesus, what Jesus had done for them. And word got through to the priests. And they went along with the temple guards and the Sadducees. And they seized Peter and John and put them in jail for preaching the word of God. A crowd of 5,000 people gathered. They were amazed at this teaching. I don't know when you last saw a crowd of 5,000, but this is a man speaking in the street and 5,000 people gather. Now, that sort of thing is unlikely to happen today without a loud speaker system. But from my visits to Kenya, Maasai land, it felt so much like Bible times. There's no newspapers, no radio, no TV. If somebody comes along with a story to tell, people want to hear what it is. So crowds gather naturally. But because of what happened, an even bigger crowd gathered. 5,000 is quite some turnout. So what happened? The priests had Peter and John brought before them, and the chief priest was there and his family, and they questioned them, by what power and what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, what did he say? He said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness to a cripple and asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. And they couldn't argue because the man was there. He was well again. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. The only way. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unskilled, ordinary men, they were astonished. These uneducated fishermen from Galilee, standing up there in front of the whole Jewish ruling council, speaking with authority given them by the Holy Spirit. And they took note, these men have been with Jesus. Filled with the Spirit, something special happens. So he spoke with great courage and conviction and truth and wisdom. There's Annas the high priest, there's Caiaphas, the rulers, the elders, teachers of the law. You know, it's like standing up in the high court and telling them off. And they couldn't do anything about it. He knew, they knew, something special had happened with that healing. Moving on to Acts 4. The believers were gathered together, they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. What happened? They spoke the word of God boldly. And they changed the way they'd been before. They started sharing their possessions. So if anyone was in need, yeah, I'll give you a tenner. I'll give you. Have you ever given money and noticed how God gives it back? If you give it in his service, you ever done that? And it's astonishing just how it happens. Give you one example. Many years ago, I was on a weekend visit to Prinish. I used to go there for occasional retreats. I'm not a Roman Catholic, but it's a God-filled, peaceful place. And they'd had a break-in, and someone had come in, stolen a computer, stolen some money that belonged to one of the monks that he was going to use for shopping and such like. And in my pocket, I had £25, which sort of 15 years ago, quite a bit of money, but God said, give him the money. Give him the money. Okay, so I did. I said, would you give this to the man who's been robbed? He said, are you sure? I said, God just told me. Well, thank you very much. That was on a Saturday. The Sunday, I was preaching up in Stone on the Wold, normally they give you sort of £5 petrol money. Do you know what they gave me? Want to guess how much? 25 quid. They give it me back. You know, God makes it up to you. So be encouraged to step out and try it. And now they move away from this idea of personal family possessions to the wider family possessions, the whole church. Next comes the story of Saul. And you know he is quite ferocious in his pursuit of Christians and his persecution of them. And he had them rounded up and put in jail. And when someone was stoned, was it Thomas? Was stoned, and the people laid their feet, their clothes at the feet of a young man called Saul. Stephen, that's it. Thank you, Stephen. And on the way, Emmaus Road, Damascus. Oh, I get them mixed up. Anyway, Jesus met him, struck him blind, and his travelling companions could hear the voice, but they couldn't see the blinding light that Saul did, and they had to lead him by the hand the rest of the way. He was somewhat set back, and he sent Ananias to the house where Saul was staying. So the Bible tells us, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So he prayed with him, and what happened? Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. That got his attention, didn't it? He got up and was baptized, first outcome. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. I think he'd had 3 days without eating anything. He was so upset by the experience. Or drinking. That can set up a thirst. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Complete change of viewpoint. And all those heard him were astonished. He's the guy who's been persecuting us. My cousin's in prison because of him, and listen to him now. And they weren't sure whether to take this seriously or not, if you remember. But God's power through him showed him that it was all true. And of course, the long-term outcome, as we know, Saul was renamed Paul. He became possibly the most significant Christian in the Bible after Jesus. Great theologian, teacher, apostle, evangelist, theologian. And then moving on, in Acts 13, read the story of this Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, or Elymas. If I remind you, the Greek word used here for sorcerer is magus, a pagan, a practitioner of witchcraft, divination, something forbidden in the Old Testament. It's something of the devil. And magus is the same word used for the so-called three wise men who foretold the coming of Jesus. They weren't the three kings, that's an incorrect translation. Wise in their own black arts, maybe. But you know, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And these three men, sorcerers, pagans, came and bowed the knee to Jesus. Scripture interprets scripture. So, back to Paul. In Cyprus, Paul, also known as Saul, and Barnabas, they preached in the synagogues. In Paphos, they encountered Elymas the Magus, a sorcerer who opposed them. He opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul, the local boss, from the faith. And Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. And what was the outcome of that? He looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting in the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind, and for a time you'll be unable to see the light of the sun." And immediately mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. Not something you see every day. And it's something Paul had been through himself. The blindness, the recovery. And this was God speaking through him, through the Holy Spirit. to bring this about. Now these pagan preachers open themselves up to Satan. They give him a nice big foothold. The demons come in, they become demonized. They have a demon, sometimes more than one. And in previous ministry at Harlem Hill and elsewhere, I've come up against such people, and believe me, you don't take it lightly, you don't tackle it on your own. Minimum two people, get prayer back up if you're dealing with a deliverance situation. And you need that power of the Holy Spirit to deal with it and cast them out. It's called deliverance ministry. And that can get noisy sometimes. Anyway, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, and Elymas was struck blind. Let's look at the last verse in this series, Acts 13:52, coming up. The disciples, they've been the public have been hearing them teaching, the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord, and all who are appointed for eternal life believed. Interesting wording there, not everyone, but just those who were appointed for eternal life. Because God foreknows what's going on. He foreknew us. He knew we were going to end up in his kingdom. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews, the establishment, incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Not just the city, but the region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. What happened? The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Job done, time to move on, off to a new challenge. They weren't feeling depressed because people were rude to them and chucked them out. Thank you, Lord. Let's move on to the next job. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. They'd been preaching in Pisidian Antioch, and almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. That's a big turnout. I gather it's quite a big town. And the Jewish leaders, they're filled with jealousy. They talked abusively against Paul's teaching. And this sort of thing still happens today. In some churches, they will not accept the full blessings of the Holy Spirit. And by that very attitude, they quench the Holy Spirit. They leave him sitting outside in the porch, waiting patiently to come in. It reminds me when Jesus returned to his own town. Jesus began teaching the people in the synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. He's a carpenter's son, isn't he? His mother named Mary, and aren't his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get these things? He's just a carpenter. Who do you think he is? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Are there members of your family that are cynical about Christianity? Don't believe? Give you a hard time sometimes? But remember, that filling with the Holy Spirit and joy. Keep on with the Lord. Don't let them grind you down. If people don't have faith that these things are real, that they will happen, then they won't. Jesus had that problem. And what is the message for us? What do we want to happen? All it needs for a church to come alive in the Spirit is for a core of people to believe and then for others to believe. It's not something reserved for Pentecostals. These so-called charismatic churches are just exercising the gifts of the Spirit like they did in Bible times. But, and they're these gifts that we're supposed to eagerly desire. Not, well, all right, Lord, if you're sure. Eagerly desire. Really pester the Lord about it. I want this gift or that gift. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. So that's the story from the Bible perspective. From God's viewpoint, God wants us to eagerly desire these gifts so we will be filled. And when we're filled, we will know it. Something special happens. It's a definite new experience. So let's look at a couple of well-known people and what they say about it. We want to be alive in the Spirit. Well, I'd like this church to be alive in the Spirit, would you? Yeah? Now, does anyone heard of Leslie Gomez? Yeah? Is she a bit special to us? Why is that then? From this church? Was she a member here once? Yeah? All right, before my time. So what's special? What's she doing now? A missionary in the Philippines, yeah? Now, she's recently published a book. Some of you have seen it. It's called Have a Little Faith. There are a few copies going around the church. Anyone else got one? One, two, three, four, five. Excellent. It's really good. Have you started reading it yet? It's lovely. Nicely written. And I think it's her first book, and it just flows. She's really been guided in writing this. And it was published in January, so it really is brand spanking new. Foreword is by Jackie Pullinger, an internationally renowned missionary. And she ministers some amazing Holy Spirit work in Hong Kong, setting these drug addicts and prostitutes and other criminals free from their habits, their addictions. And she's done some amazing work out there. I've got some tapes of hers at home where she talks about the work and how she wondered where she should go. She knew she was supposed to go somewhere for the Lord, and she just, where have I got to go, Lord? I don't know. And she asked various people. They said, oh no, you're not trained. Oh, you're not good enough. Or, don't worry about it, it'll go away. Until she met one wise, godly Christian, a minister, who said, well, let's just ask the Lord. And they sat and prayed. And he said, gather your things together, get your money together, and buy a steamer ticket to go as far as you can with the money you've got. And God will organise the rest. So she had enough money to get to Hong Kong. So that's what she did. She took a tramp steamer to Hong Kong. She arrived there with 10 Hong Kong dollars in her pocket. The customs didn't believe it. But God led her to her ministry there. And I've got one of her books here. So she wrote the foreword for this book. And Leslie went to work with Jackie for a month a while ago. Let me just, when she was 23. Let's just read from page 53. We spent a few minutes every day being quiet, listening and waiting for God to speak to us in our spirits. We gave him our cares and received his strength and confidence. It make everything easier, Ah Yin told me. I could see it was true. Jackie taught me and everyone else to rely on God's Spirit to do the work. She told us, the fragrance of having spent time with Jesus will go with you and spread to others. At the center and home for these addicts, I saw lives that were on the brink of destruction, transformed by the power of praying in tongues. It wasn't strange to me. When I was a teenager back home, our family attended a meeting at a Salvation Army hall in Newark in the Midlands to find out more about the gift of tongues. During a time of charismatic renewal in the 1970s, churches of all denominations were being swept up in a new awareness of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. My parents were very interested in it, and so was I. The experience that Jesus' disciples had at Pentecost promised to help me overcome my shyness. I longed to share my faith with others, but up to that point I hardly dared speak to anyone about my relationship with God. After the meeting, I joined a group of people who wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We went upstairs to the upper room and sat on cushions on the floor. The Salvation Army officer approached me. Why are you here? He asked gently. Perhaps he thought I was too young. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I told him. He prayed with me and we waited for something to happen. I was determined not to pretend. I wanted the real thing. We waited and waited as the other people started to move back downstairs and leave to go home. I was beginning to feel like we should probably give up, and then it happened. It felt like a huge bucketful of God's love had been emptied over my head. Immense love poured over me and through me as tears of joy streamed down my face. I opened my mouth to say thank you to God, but instead started to speak in a foreign language. It was the gift of tongues. I stayed there, sort of suspended between heaven and earth for some time. Eventually, the Salvation Army officer led me down the stairs where my parents were waiting. With great delight, he told them what had happened. I would never forget that experience. A new boldness became part of my still quiet personality. I began to use more opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Filled with the Spirit, what happened? And now she's a missionary. Praise God. Now then, next person I want to introduce to you is Derek Prince. Anyone heard of Derek Prince? Yep. No? Okay. He's quite famous as a theologian, a teacher, an evangelist, worldwide ministry, television ministry. I think he's passed away now, but he's been buried in Israel. I'd like to read you a little bit from one of his books. He's quite a prolific author on things of the Holy Spirit. And this is Secrets of a Prayer Warrior. Just a page. As I look back over the years that I've walked with the Lord, again and again I thank God for the times when he did not let me have my way. I can see situation after situation where if I had done things the way I wanted, the outcome would have been disastrous. And there are other times that he's led me to pray the kind of prayers that change nations, change situations, change families. I can say to the glory of God that I can see several points where history was changed by my prayers and the prayers of believers gathered together. It can be changed by your prayers too. Let me give you two examples. About a year after I was called into the British Army and had that dramatic personal encounter with the Lord, my unit was sent to North Africa, and I found myself serving there as a hospital attendant. In the course of that experience, I was granted the rather doubtful privilege of taking part in the longest retreat in the history of the British Army, more than 700 miles of continuous retreating, from a place named Alagala in Libya to the very gates of Cairo. Let me say, to retreat for 700 miles is a wearisome and demoralizing experience, especially in the desert. At that point, the fate of the Middle East hung in the balance. If the Axis forces could press through and capture Cairo, they'd command the Suez Canal, cut one of the main lifelines of the British Empire, and ultimately the land of Israel and the oil resources of the entire Middle East would be at their mercy. Now, doubtless there were many factors that caused that retreat, but the one that impressed me was that the officers did not have the confidence of the men under them. The British officers were selfish, irresponsible, and undisciplined. I'm the son of army officers, and I say this having considered exactly what I mean to say. And he gives some examples. There I was, newly converted. I'd not had any opportunity to attend church. All I had was my Bible and the Holy Spirit. I thought to myself, I ought to be able to pray about this situation intelligently. I knew I did not know what to pray, so in my naive way I said, Lord, show me how you want me to pray. The Lord gave me a specific answer, which was this prayer. Lord, give us leaders such that it will be to your glory to give us victory through them. I was less than a year old in the faith when I prayed that prayer, and I prayed it consistently. Lord, give us leaders such that it will be to your glory to give us victory through them. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Britain at the time, acted more or less on his own initiative and appointed an unknown officer who was flown out from Britain. His name was Bernard Montgomery, a committed Christian and a God-fearing man. He was a very fine commander and a man of great discipline. He went to work reorganizing the British forces. He restored discipline and morale. He changed the whole attitude and bearing and conduct of the officers. And then there was fought the well-known Battle of El Alamein, which was the first major Allied victory in the whole of that theater of war, North Africa. It reversed the course of the war in favor of the Allies. I was serving with a military ambulance up in the desert, a little way behind the advancing British forces. On the tailboard of the truck was a little portable radio. I listened as it, they had valves in those days, weren't they? You didn't switch on and there it was. You had to switch it on, wait for the little wires to warm up. I listened as a news commentator described the preparations at Montgomery's headquarters just before the Battle of El Alamein was fought. He described how Montgomery came out, assembled his officers and men, and said this, "Let us ask the Lord, mighty in battle, to give us the victory." Amen? As I listened to those words, what I called heaven's electricity went through me from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. God spoke quietly but firmly to my spirit and said, "This is the answer to your prayer." Heaven's electricity. I like that. It's something I've felt many times. Anyone else? I think Lena has, David has, Tony has. Yes, the people over there. And it's, I don't know, really supernatural and amazing. Some people feel a great flow of warmth when the Holy Spirit comes on them. It makes a difference. This being filled with the Holy Spirit makes a difference in Bible times and individuals today, in churches today. So what about church growth? Who'd like to see Brun grow? Some of you? Yeah, nearly everybody. Everybody, that's it. Good show of hands. Lovely. Well, it's I think the most powerful way is to let the Holy Spirit shake us and fill us. Let me give you two examples. Stonehouse Baptist Church. The minister there is a minister in training, Anne Dunn, and she's come here to speak at the Gold and Silver 3 weeks ago, something like that. January? Gosh, was it? Doesn't the time fly? And she's been at that church for about a year and a half. She's spirit-filled. She's teaching the Holy Spirit, ministering the Holy Spirit. The numbers have grown from 6 to 60 in that 18 months. And they've started running special sessions on occasional Saturdays they call River Church. Now, they have an informal service with an opportunity to be led by the Holy Spirit in prayer, Bible study, and the wonderful gifts of the Holy Spirit. The next growth example, you know the Mariners Church down by Gloucester Docks? You ever been there in the past? It was tumbleweed, you know. And services, they had about 7 people there. I think they called them the Magnificent 7 that kept going against all odds. A new minister came there 2 years ago, January 2012, Andy Osmond. Spirit-filled ministry there grew the numbers from that 7. Anyone like to guess? Over 100 people today at both services. That was in 18 months from January. That's what it's on the website. I don't know what it is today. So, do we still want Brun to grow? Wouldn't that be nice? Didn't quite hear that.
Yes,
that's better. Okay, so what do we need to do? We need these 7 supernatural gifts that we've studied recently in our house groups. Yes, there are other gifts mentioned, but they're all natural group gifts or aptitudes that are like administration, that are enhanced by the Holy Spirit. But these particular 7 are supernatural, they're different, they're special. These words of knowledge that they talk about isn't a natural talent that anybody's got, but it's a prompting that comes from God when praying into a situation. Couple of examples, excuse me if I've mentioned these before. One of the teachers on this at Harm Hill said they were praying with a man and who'd had real problems in his life, and it was Reverend David Bedford and his wife, and he said, "I've waited and waited on the Lord. All I get the word is the word bike." And the man burst into tears. When he'd been a lad, he'd had an argument with his brother over a bike. They'd only got one between them. And his brother had torn the bike away from him, pedalled off down the road flat out. He was killed in a car crash. And that man had blamed himself all his life. But that word of knowledge from the Lord allowed prayer into that and released him from what had been binding him all those years. It's a key that unlocks a door. Another example, I was praying with Letty Dodds, the wife of Arthur Dodds. He was one of the founders of Harn Hill. A couple came up, getting on round about my age now, I suppose. Oh, they were looking cheerful. I said, what would you like God to do for you? I said, oh, nothing really. It's our 40th wedding anniversary. We'd like to give thanks. So we prayed, give thanks for that. But God was saying something into my mind. And I said, I think there's something more. Oh, no, we're fine. I think there's something more. No. And I gave the words God gave me. I said, the Lord says there's a great tragedy in your lives. And she burst into tears because her son's marriage had just broken up. That's no natural ability. That can only come from God. They were visitors. I'd never seen them before there or since. And passing through, decided to come to a service. And so we were able to pray into that. Very powerful in the healing ministry. Very important words of knowledge. Just one of those supernatural gifts. So if you want to refresh your memory, it's in 1 Corinthians 12. You can do that for homework. If you've got any questions, just ask. And these gifts change us. They give us this extra dimension spiritually. They will change the church. And I warn you, there'll be difficulties ahead if we do. Some people don't want it. will scoff, like those in Jesus' hometown. The devil doesn't want it. He will try to oppose us spiritually. He can affect and upset our families. I know when I go away on mission, Lena gets attacked. So I make sure people pray, give Lena prayer cover. You know, he will attack those we love if he can't get straight through to us. So it's a case of put on the armor of God and protect yourselves. In Ephesians 6, learn it like a prayer. And if you're having a difficult time, maybe it's a spiritual attack. It usually happens when you're doing something effective for the Lord. When we're not, the devil tends to leave us alone. Now, we've got a God of passion and creativity. Now, some people in churches are worried or even offended if the Holy Spirit begins to show himself through people speaking or their behavior. And something similar happened in the Bible when King David danced before the Lord with all his might. He was all for it with the Holy Spirit, and he was having a wonderful time praising the Lord, and his wife got the huff. She was a bit one of those, I think. Not having that sort of thing around here. And she had a go at him about it, and she got punished for her trouble. So we mustn't get stuffy about these gifts and scornful and unbelieving, because we don't know how God is going to move. We've just got to say, okay, let's say it is from the Lord. What next, Lord? What next? Show me the next move. Show me what I need to believe in more. And we move on. Now then, some testimonies. Let's hear from a few people about their experiences of the Holy Spirit. Callum, may I ask you to come and tell us first? Have the radio mic, this one? Is it on? It's switched on at the back. There we are. Okay. Right, you can hold that.
Okay. Hello. I'm Callum, and I had an experience with the Holy Spirit when I went to Soul Survivor, which is a Christian festival. So before I went, I was really, really anti-God. I was like the biggest person who was like, no, God doesn't exist, and was really kind of, I wasn't in a really good place. And I went and I was really skeptical, and there was this one night where everyone was there, we were praising God, and I just felt really kind of shaky, and I sat down and sort of like a flood came over me of just love and warmth and really feeling close to God, and that changed me. I became a Christian then, and I was there and I felt God's love just pouring over me, and it's never been the same since. It's never really been bad again, and I became a Christian that day, and it's changed me forever, and it's just awesome. Holy Spirit's amazing.
Lovely. Wonderful. Thank you, Callum. Bless you. I spoke to Sean on the phone today. He was going to come, but he gets good days and bad days. It's a moment-by-moment thing. Tuesday and Wednesday he said he was just fine, but then it goes down again. He can't even get up the stairs, so they brought the bed down into the sitting room, I think. So he's sleeping in there. There's no going to bed. It's all in the same room. There's something about going upstairs to bed, a sort of separation from the day, isn't there? And he hasn't got that. He's had this condition for 7 months, and he still hasn't been to see the neurologist that he needs to see, who will prescribe the medicines he needs to control this situation. And it's gently getting worse and worse. And the ordinary GPs don't want to prescribe anything because it might be the wrong medicine, or it might mask what the specialist needs to see. So he can't get another appointment for 4 weeks to see this specialist. So they said, there might be a cancellation. Do you want to go on the waiting list? So he said, yes. So can we all please pray that that opportunity will come up and he'll be able to go on a cancellation? And he might phone just anybody for a lift. If he can't get one person, he'll try another. So he might ring us, he might ring Pastor. But his little testimony here, on the May the 29th, 2005, you remember the date? I was baptised at my local church in Crawley. It was Langley Green Church. After giving my testimony, I could feel a warmth and heaviness I've never felt before. After my baptism, while sitting listening to another person being baptised, I just felt even heavier. Other church members came around and prayed for me, and I'm sure at this moment I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And even days after my baptism, I felt this warmth, a closeness, a power. So that's what Sean emailed me this afternoon. Okay, David Everett.
I was brought up, would you believe, in a strict and particular Baptist church who do not believe in gifts of the Spirit at all. So as a child, I went to Sunday school, did all the things I meant to do. I was converted at a house party when I was 14. And it wasn't till probably 20 years ago, and I'm quite old now, that I'd always been interested in things to do with the Holy Spirit. And I'd been involved in meetings, I'd been to meetings and all the rest of it. And all these people seemed to get this thing. And I thought, well, I really do want this thing. But this went on for years, to be honest with you. I prayed with all sorts of people, prayed with me, nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened. And when it says, you were mentioning earlier on, seek eagerly, I can't even think I was seeking eagerly, but I was constantly interested in what God was doing. And I had this thing, if God's word is true, and if Acts of the Apostles is true, why on earth isn't this happening now? And I looked around and said, well, it is happening. It's not happening to me, but it is happening. And I could keep you here for all the evening telling you this story. I won't. to cut an extremely long story short, I was praying with a friend of mine in my kitchen 20 years ago, and this friend suddenly turned around to me and said, God's just told me to tell you to speak in tongues. And I said, what? And it happened like that. Now, a lot of people go to big meetings or something else, and it's all sort of, it's an atmosphere thing, I think, and people feel this is all happening. This happened in my kitchen with one other person. That was it. Did it change things? How long have you got? But two things just to say very, very quickly. One thing is something that between me and God personally, and that is to do with the weather. Now, you might think, David, why haven't you been praying harder for the last 14 weeks or whatever it is? We're... I'll tell you the story. It's absolutely true. I was on a job. As you know, many of you know, I work outside as a landscape gardener. And I was on a job, and I was hoping to finish this job this particular afternoon. And I said, I will finish the job as long as it doesn't rain. And the guy said to me at lunchtime, we sat out together eating our lunch, the owner of the house, he said to me, you won't finish this afternoon because it's going to rain. And I said, it's not going to rain because I've talked to God about it, and he's not going to let it rain until I leave this place. So this was, I could see the Malvern Hills, and the clouds were coming across and coming across and coming across. And I said, Lord, please, it can't rain. And this is true. A cloud came along, split in two, went round me, around the back. I finished the job. I got in my car. I drove out through the five-bar gate. I locked the five-bar gate, got in my car, and the heavens opened. Rain came down. God does amazing things, all right? And it talks in the Bible, doesn't it? Elijah was a man like us. And it really struck me that day that, wow, God hears our prayers. When we ask him to do things for us, he'll do it. He's a God of miracles. He's a God. It's funny enough, I was thinking when Philip asked me to speak, I thought, yeah, I'll tell you this story. Not this one, another one. And I was sat there just now thinking, well, actually, this is something God does that's miraculous. It's not to do with healing. It's not to do with sort of other things. It's to do with miraculous signs and wonders. It was a miraculous sign and wonder as far as I was concerned. So thank you, Lord.
Thank you, David. Okay, Dave Smith. Try and keep it under 10 minutes as we're overrunning a little bit.
Good evening, nice to see you. Well, I was baptised here quite a while ago, and the guy sat in the back there, tried to drown me twice. So I actually had a double baptism here with water. He tried to hold me down, but it didn't quite work. But anyway, when I came out of the baptismal pool here, this intense heat was really going right through my whole being. And it was so intense that I really didn't need a towel to dry off. And this lasted for some considerable days. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is going on? And it was almost as if he'd turned a switch on, because this massive light appeared, and what it I could tell you a lot of things, but anyway, what happened was He was directing me to Jesus. And he gave me this intense hunger to know more about the Lord. It was so intense I couldn't cure it, and I still haven't cured it to this day. I ordered a lot of ministry tapes. I went to a lot of meetings. I went and talked to people and then spent a lot of time in prayer. And it was so intense that my wife, I used to work in the construction industry in those days, so it was all over the country. And she used to provide me with a thermos, a lunchbox, a dry set of clothing, and a new Bible. And I used to take that with me every day. Whenever there was an opportunity, I'd have my head in God's Word. And even to this day, I thirst for more of the Lord. The second thing is, I'm just going to do one more, okay? One more thing. Lots of things happened, and I could spend quite a lot of time, because the Holy Spirit is brilliant. And when he touches your life, amazing things happen. Sometime later, I started getting words of knowledge, or which I didn't understand in those days. I thought, what's this all about, you know? And it could have been a simple word. It could have been a simple sentence. And I got to the stage where I was sat by somebody or talking to somebody, and this word would flash into my mind, or this sentence would come into my mind. I think, you know, I can't really tell people about this. So I did hesitate for quite some time. And I said to the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, if this really is of you, then show me. Nothing happened. I thought, oh, wow, that's okay. Jacqueline and I were at a meeting in Cheltenham some while later. And a great worship meeting it was. We had a wonderful time of worship. And during the course of the meeting, we were split up into various groups to pray together about various issues. And we were sat with another couple, come and sat with us, and we were praying. And this voice came, and it said, pray for their daughter. Just like that. You know, you feel a bit uncomfortable about this, because we were praying all around the world, really. But as we come to the end, I just prayed for their daughter. Didn't think no more about it. When we went back to our seats, they gave me the most strange look, as you can imagine. And I thought, uh-oh, I've been and upset somebody here. And didn't think a lot more about it. But we were having tea a little bit later on, and out the corner of my eye, seeing this guy come and walk into a room. I thought, oh, here we go. This is going to be interesting. And he said, I just want to thank you for praying for my daughter. She's just come out of hospital. Now, I didn't know that, but the Lord did. Didn't know whether she was healed, but she was prayed for. And you know, the Holy Spirit is such a gentleman. Don't ever be fearful of the Holy Spirit, because he wants the best for each one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, David. Okay. Now we'll just have a short time of prayer. I just want to pray for a moment. Let's just wait on the Lord for a moment, please. You've got to close your eyes. Lord, have you got anything for us? If anyone has a word from the Lord to encourage us, anything to share, don't be afraid of giving it. It might be a word of knowledge for something, for healing, or a picture. Share it. If you feel the Lord's giving you something to share, please be bold and share it with us. If it doesn't mean anything to anyone, it doesn't matter. But if we hold back, we might be holding back a blessing from someone. Come, Holy Spirit. Please reveal yourself to us. Remember my joy. Thank you. I feel the Lord saying, open your hearts, my children. Let my Spirit come in even more. I will bless you and be with you. I will help you to grow. I will help this people to grow in my church here. You will speak boldly and with power. You will minister in my spirit. Healing will become regular. Thank you, Lord. Just trust in me. Trust in me. Father. Anyone else want to share anything? Okay. Right. Well, if anyone would like prayer afterwards, please come and sit at the front here and someone will come and pray with you. Other than that, let's go out with joy.